O Savior, keep us near that wondrous cross. And in this holy season, as we prepare for the holy event of Easter, let us continually reflect on the magnificent of Jesus, allowing him to tell us who he is. Who better to tell us than himself? In this Lenten season, we tend to do some spiritual disciplines that we might do all year. We're more intentional. We take them deeper. Some of them we only practice at this time, and some we don't. Please know that Lent is not a contest. It is not for a report card. It's not who gave up the biggest sacrifice or if they were perfect. That is not the point of Lent. When we fast, it is in remembrance and respect that Jesus himself fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness from food. Now, because we are finite beings, we tend to turn to those finite things, things that deal with food or treats or making some of those sacrifices that cost us money or little surprises we give ourselves. Is that a sacrifice? Absolutely. Especially if you are doing it to recognize I'm making room in my life for Jesus, that maybe some of these things I'm treating like an idol. But other things we can fast from is some of our attitude choices. Because when we let bitterness and judgment and gossip enter our daily activities and our heart and our mind, it truly influences our actions and our thoughts. That when we turn from those behaviors, we too are still making room for Jesus. And this isn't about your willpower in this fasting time. This is about relying on Jesus. Because if we are truly giving up something that is something important to us, something that we do rely on, then we're going to need God to help us through some of those temptation moments, through some of those choices. And if we slip up, or maybe better to say when we slip up, that we confess to God and give ourselves grace, for that is what God will give us. Again, we're not doing this for perfection. We're doing this to lean into this holy season, preparing our hearts for Easter. Now, we say that Lent is 40 days, but it's 40 days plus Sundays. Why? Because every Sunday is a day to remember and reflect upon the resurrection. Every Sunday is to be treated like a mini Easter. We have the victory to celebrate, and God never wants us to forget that. So yes, do without and fast, but if you need the treat of Sunday, if you need that celebration, God wants us to take it. He died for us, but he came back to life for us. And that's what we celebrate. Amen. So take every chance to do that. Another activity we do is almsgiving. So if you are sacrificing something that costs money, or one of the things I tell you is to kind of maybe start a God fund, and you find yourself, if you're doing a behavior that you're trying to modify, those 25-cent fines or 10-cent fines really do add up. And give it to a charity, an organization, your neighbor down the street. Use it for random acts of kindness. Show love is a great way to celebrate Lent and to prepare for that holy event of Easter. Maybe reaching out to a loved one, doing acts of kindness, acts of love. That there are different spiritual disciplines you can lean into, the devotionals for different interpretations of Scripture, or to look at Scripture maybe you wouldn't, to be intentional on your reading, but to spend time with God. And if you don't like a printed devotional, if you would prefer, there is a Facebook group, or if you want it to come directly to your email, I'm more than happy. I do that for several people. Just let me know. But let us dive into the Word of God, into that Gospel of John. Who is Jesus? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We're going to want to look first at Gospel of John chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 12-19. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him, here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. Let us hear that message again. You judge by human standards, which means limited. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. And if you would pick up chapter 9 with me, verses 1 through 12. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened, they demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed. And then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. And then, if you would also, we're going to pick up just two verses from chapter 12 of John, 46 and 47. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Again, I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Oh, the world can be dark, and how the news will throw up the most sensational headlines. But let me tell you something. Jesus sees it all. And we, as humans, can be so judgy. Did you catch where they came upon the blind man? The first thing they said, who sinned? Was it the blind man or was it the parents? And do you feel like Jesus just like covers his head, covers his face? Like you just don't get it. How many people had Jesus healed at this point? These are the disciples who saw it up close and personal over and over. over, who also were going into the world to heal people. And their first question, who sinned? I have trouble believing all the people Jesus is healing as he's got a notepad and scratching it on the tablets like, all right, what'd you do? All right, you'll get healed this time, but tomorrow, I don't know. That's not how Jesus was. And Jesus wouldn't have needed us to confess what we had done wrong. Jesus had the Father. Now, if you were reading in your Bible, I'm guessing it's mostly written the way my translation is, that anytime Jesus is talking about Father God, big capital F, when they said, who is your Father, drops down to the lower F. And Jesus is like, you still don't get it. How often Jesus was running into people like, I talk and I talk and I heal and I heal. I come to you, I tell you, I share with you. And still, you judge. Because as humans, we want it to be marked for us. We want it to be labeled. We love a good rule. Because if you read farther in some of those scriptures we just read, oh, the Pharisees, they're just going to be on Jesus' case. One of the things they're going to point out, especially with the blind man, is this the Sabbath? Were you healing on the Sabbath again, Jesus? Why are you doing that? You're missing the point. Sometimes there's loopholes to the rules for a reason. There's a reason we need grace and mercy and justice. And justice isn't always exactly the way we think. Anyone who has siblings and went under the Christmas tree at Christmas time and was like, Jack has got 5 presents and I've only got 4. Is that fair? Well, Jack's presents, cost-wise, probably didn't equal the same as your 4. Or what if I give you a cookie, and we know that you've got 1,000 cookies. It's Girl Scout season. They're all stocked away in your pantry, but you take the cookie. And I give you a cookie, and you haven't had a cookie in years. You barely have had crumbs in months. Well, on the outside, it sure looks fair. I gave you a cookie, and I gave you a cookie. But now that we know more of the story, maybe we could share a cookie or 2 extra to the one who hasn't had. See, we only see so much of the story, and yet we think we see it all, like the light I showed the children. We can't see the light sometimes in the light, and we think we're in the light, so we say, Jesus, we don't need your light. Oh, but how Jesus we do. And Jesus is like, I know the full story, and I'm not here to judge. I don't need to know if this man sinned or his parents sinned. And by the way, neither did. This is not why the man is blind. This man is blind for the glory of God, to see the glory of God. Oh, our humanness, who just jumped on that? Oh, yep, see? God does bad situations to show God's glory. Well, now the next time we run into someone having a bad day, you're not having a bad day. God is going to use you. Anyone who's ever known a parent of a child with a disability, God loves you and knows you're special, that you could handle this challenge. Look at my good deed for the day. I just gave them a compliment that your life is going to be hard because you deserve it. And you are worthy of your hard life. And I don't want to be complicated by your tough struggle. So I offered you a platitude instead of the healing. Jesus said, this blind man. He didn't say all blind men. He said, this blind man. This blind man, he knew he was going to come across. That when he saw him, he knew his job was to heal him. And that the disciples, their first question was, who sinned? Oh, we get caught up in the details. Are you worthy of my gift? If I give you $5 to go get food, are you going to go get food or are you going to go get something naughty? Oh, if you're going to get something naughty, then you don't get my $5. I need to know where you're going to spend it. I know I haven't met you and I know I don't know your story and you've probably never touched any of the stuff that I think you're going to go buy. You know what? It's better if I just keep my $5. Wow. They might not have even said hello. They might not have even put down the window, and they've already judged this whole person's life story because they saw him in a glance. Oh, there are a lot of moments I hope you don't catch me in a glance. I can't imagine what you would think. And so Jesus is saying, there's more to the story. Everyone is worthy of my love. Everyone is worthy of my light. Amen. That we all are walking around in darkness if we don't have Jesus. God, the first thing God said, okay, I've got this whole world to create. I'm gonna start with light. I gotta separate the light from the darkness. There has to be contrast. Otherwise, we're all gonna be stumbling forever. And so the first story we talked about where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you'll have the light of life. Not you can have the light of life, you will have the light of life. And that is open to everyone. Well, somebody's gonna catch him right there, right? Oh, Jesus, you say you're the light of the world. Well, what kind of testimony is that? How can you have authority to tell us about your life and we're supposed to believe you? Okay, first off, if you want to know about my life, I'm probably a pretty good resource. Now, actually, I probably don't know everything that happened in my life, but I've got the most data collected. So if I tell you something, it's probably true. I do like to tell a good story, and I've been known to embellish a little. But that's part of who I am. That's part of the testimony. So if Jesus is telling you who Jesus is, that's who we're going to follow this Lenten season. Who is Jesus? Tell us. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And when you follow, you'll have the light of life. Because we're following. We're getting the glimmers of that. We're getting the rays. We're seeing the world as Jesus leads us through it. That's awesome. But the Pharisees are like, what makes you so special? And Jesus points out, okay, first off, I'm never alone when I give a testimony. Second of all, even by your authority that you count as testimony, it's two people, one to say it, one to confirm it. And when I speak, I'm speaking for Jesus, that's one, and my Father, a pretty good authority on everything. So if I speak, it doesn't get more true. That's what Jesus is saying as the light of the world. I'm giving you sight to see the big picture. And sometimes we still just want to go to that judgmental place. We want to get it in a glance. We want to make it nice and clean, black and white, put it in the boxes, move on. But life is about messy. Life is about chaos. It's about the gray area. It's learning that justice isn't just handing over a cookie and keep walking. It's not to pass judgment on the blind man next to us or the person who's going through a really rough time. You don't have to give them money, no. But giving them a moment to be human, to share their story, to share their troubles, to share their hardship. Do you know how much I feel better sometimes just letting it out? Sometimes it's all just clogged up in there. And just by finally releasing it, all of a sudden some of the things make more sense. Maybe some of them aren't as dire. I had shared with you this trauma of the vacuum story. Well, here's another vacuum story for you. It stopped working. And it wasn't the belt, because that was nice and fixed. And I'm looking at the bottom of the machine, and I know some of you are the engineer minds. You're so good. Your toaster doesn't work, you're like, take it apart. Spring by spring. Oh, I just needed to fix this one little switch and put it back together. Then we have our kind of artist minds who are like, it doesn't work. The toaster is now a vase. The vacuum has now become a sculpture. I am not the engineer type. But I also don't want to go buy a new vacuum because it should be working. According to everything I see, the cord is fine. It makes the vroom vroom sound, but it's not sucking anything up. I'm cleaning the filter on this thing. I'm pulling gadgets out, washing and cleaning, and everything is empty from what I could tell. Until I got to that part where it's not the rollers, that's the stuff that pulls it in, but the hose where it connects to put it in the canister. Somehow a bottle cap, like a plastic soda bottle cap, got wedged perfectly in that hole. Too big to really be picked up by the roller like that, but I guess small enough and not too small to go through the hose thing. It got clogged up so nothing else can be picked up. That happens in our daily world. And that's what happens when we judge. We become the bottle cap that stops grace from happening. Because those disciples, they just wanted to know who was in trouble, who sinned. And Jesus was like, we're going to heal this man. That's what you need to know. And then did you hear how Jesus healed him? I've seen Jesus heal with a word. They could be down like the end of that pew and be like, your faith has saved you. I've seen someone touch his hem. You have been restored. You have been healed. He's healing this blind man by making mud. And not just any mud. He spit on the ground next to him, picked up that nasty dirt, rubbed it together. And this is a blind man, swiped it over his eyes. This blind man did not see Jesus, would not have recognized Jesus on the street, probably doesn't even know the stories of Jesus, and then has a stranger put mud over his face and say, go to the pool of Siloam. Now, John Wesley's interpretation of that is so that people could see this man go through town. Because the pool of Siloam isn't like right here. Like, here you're healed, take two steps to the pool. This was like, go down to the town, and if we're in Welford, like, let's go over to Duncan United Methodist Church. If you could just walk on over there with your blind self, wash up in the pool there, and you'll see. But what does this man have to lose? He sounds authoritative, which also probably means he has a guide with him, right? So this guy is pulling him to this pool because he doesn't know maybe where that exactly is. I don't know how often he visited. And they're going through town. And people are looking. Now, they probably know this man is blind, some of them. They've recognized him as the beggar on the street. And they might be saying, there's mud on his eyes. What is going on? And if they ask, where are you going? The pool of Siloam. I'll walk with you. Like, this is an interesting story. What's happening? And so maybe a whole crowd is gathering to watch what happens. And that this man washes his eyes. And as he clears the mud off his face, eyes can see. For the first time, he can see. Oh, and then our buddies, the Pharisees, or the other onlookers. That's not the man we've seen beg, is it? I think it is. And the other people are like, no, it just looks like him. And who starts to give testimony? No, I am that man. I am the one who couldn't see, but now I do. Well, who did this for you? A man they call Jesus? Well, where is he? Do we remember the beginning of the story? This man was blind when he met Jesus. He didn't see Jesus. He still couldn't point Jesus out on a street to you. Jesus could be next to him and he would be like, I don't know. It wasn't like Jesus gave him instructions like, go to the pool of Siloam. By the way, I'm going to go see my friend Mark. Just come on over when you're done. He said, go to the pool of Siloam. Wash your eyes. You can see. Have a great day. I added that part. That's the embellishment. But like Jesus didn't leave an itinerary. So these people didn't believe his testimony that he's the guy who was blind. He doesn't really know who healed him, but now they want him to tell him where he is? Oh, we just don't get it as humans. We don't ever see the full story. And the next time Jesus tells us, every time he's talking about light, he's also talking about the judgment. When I let you see Don't let judgment be your first instinct. Appreciate the view. Appreciate the healing. Appreciate the gift. Appreciate that you can see more around you. But not to judge, but to see. Because I am the light of the world. Sin is going to bring in challenges and obstacles and start to block some of that light. But Jesus keeps reminding you, you just follow me. All right, I'm going to light your path for you. Follow me and you'll have the light of life. It will stop being night for you. In this Lenten season, I encourage you to find those opportunities to see the light. And you don't, my engineers, you don't have to get caught up in all the details. I'm not going to say don't, because I know some of you, that's really where the magic is for you. And artists, it's okay if you see the toaster become a vase. That's how you use the light. But use the light to see. And not to judge. And continually seek the light of the world. Please join me in prayer. Oh God, our deliverer, you led your people of old through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide now the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.